Hey there, welcome to MedTech Africa, the podcast where we showcase digital health and health technology innovations from across Africa. I'm yours truly, Sam Oti. Today's episode features Emily Young. She is the CEO and co-founder of Moving Health, a company that is literally moving health forward through their low-cost emergency transportation innovation. Their mission is simple, saving lives one ride at a time. And on that note, I guess it only makes sense to say that this episode is going to be one hell of a ride. Thanks for joining us and enjoy the conversation. Hello, Emily. Welcome to MedTech Africa. What a delight to have you on the show. How are you doing and where on earth are you at the moment?
Thanks so much for having me, Sam. I'm super excited to be here today and I'm calling in from Cambridge, Massachusetts in the US today.
Is it spring yet?
It is just spring has just sprung. There's flowers on the trees. It's starting to get warm. Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Well, it's great to have you on the show. And I've done a little bit of my homework. So I know you have a background in mechanical engineering, but at the same time, you were also a baking class teacher. So let's start by you telling us about yourself and how you got into the health tech space.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up with one of my parents being a doctor and one of my parents being a psychologist. So I think that I always was very interested in the healthcare space. I was always very interested in doing work that would be helping others and in some regard, trying to make the world a better place. I think that as I was going through my, primary and secondary education, I was very interested in playing sports. And so I really wanted to play sports in college, but then I ended up actually tearing my ACL and realizing that maybe that was not the career that I really wanted to be building. So I ended up becoming really interested in prosthetics and biomechanics because of tearing my ACL. And I ended up applying to MIT because of some of the prosthetics research that they were doing there. I got in, I ended up deciding that I wanted to study product design and mechanical engineering, but I was always still very drawn to the medical side of that. And so I was involved in several projects before Moving Health, but my second year of university, I got introduced to this project and I've been working on it ever since.
Great. So by this project, I believe you mean what was initially the OCOA project and that now became what is known today as Moving Health, which you co-founded. So tell us the story. How did that happen? How did you get involved with OCOA? What was the OCOA project and how did it evolve into becoming Moving Health?
Yeah, absolutely. So I took a class. It was called D-Lab Design as part of the engineering department at MIT. And the idea is that students act as design consultants for a company or an organization somewhere internationally. And we were partnered with a Tanzanian NGO, and they said, we want to get pregnant women to the hospital safer and faster than existing options. And we wanted to leverage the Bota Bota system. And so we came up with the first idea, which was a trailer that could attach to the back of any existing motorcycle. And we, started prototyping it in the class. We built a very, very simple version of this during the semester. And then we decided that we really wanted to get funding and build a version of this for our partner. And we were able to travel to Tanzania. And I think that basically immediately we said, okay, we need to take 100 steps back. We need to understand the problem. We need to make this much more human-centered. We had been able to get a lot of information about the geography and the communities through the partner that we'd been working with. But we said, we want to do hundreds of interviews and kind of start the design over from scratch if we want to do this kind of the right way. And so during those interviews, we heard so many stories. And there's one that really sticks with me, which was a man who told us the story about his daughter, and she was really, really sick, and he knew she needed to go to the hospital, so there was no ambulance in the area that they lived, and so they called a motorcycle. There were no motorcycles in the area. They waited for a few hours, and finally one came. Then they made it to the clinic. The clinic said, "We don't have the medicine that you need. You need to go to the district hospital." The same situation happened again. They were trying to find a car, a motorcycle, and they had to wait a few hours for anything to come. They finally got one. It took a while to get to the hospital. And when they got there, the doctor basically said, "It's too late for your daughter. And if she had gotten here a little bit earlier, I think we could have saved her, but it's too late." And she ended up passing away at the hospital. And I think that, yeah, it's a completely devastating story. And I think for me, that was a big turning point in wanting to turn this into something more than just a project and really try and find a way to make this idea of a community-designed emergency transportation system a reality. And that's really, I think, what gave birth to Moving Health and kind of turning this into something real.
Wow, that is such a powerful story, and one that is quite common, especially across parts of rural Africa. And I like the way you've described it, community-designed emergency transportation project. So let's get into the nuts and bolts of it, right? Can you describe exactly what Moving Health does?
Yes, absolutely. So Moving Health is a nonprofit that's focused on connecting families to healthcare and through that emergency transportation when they need it most. And the way that we do this is a holistic solution to the problem. And the way that we talk about it is that we are creating emergency transportation that's designed by last mile communities for last mile communities. And so what we do, we kind of have a three-pronged approach. The first main part of what we do is that we design and manufacture low-cost tricycle ambulances that are designed by the communities. The second is that we implement those ambulances and provide trainings working with the local health directorates to make sure that this can supplement existing ambulance systems and existing healthcare systems. And then the last piece is, you know, very, very important, is that we provide a maintenance network for the vehicles so that they do not go out of commission because they've broken down due to the bad road terrain. So kind of all of those things together make up our holistic emergency transportation solution that is at every step of the way informed by the needs of last mile communities.
Wow. So let's unpack that a bit. So you mentioned a number of things, one of which is community participation in developing this tricycle ambulance. Now, well, this is an audio-only podcast, so could you just give us a very strong visual description of what that tricycle ambulance looks like, what features it has, and how exactly did you engage the community in designing it? And which community, by the way? We've not even talked about geography.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now we're working in Ghana. We are working in Sisala East in the Upper West region. And we've been working with these communities on the tricycle ambulance design for the past 4 years. The design that we have today, and we just launched the final version of this product last month, so we're feeling really excited about it, is a tricycle ambulance. There's a driver's compartment as well as a patient compartment. It is an elongated tricycle, so it's similar to the Motor Kings, but the axle is pushed back. It's longer so that there's space for a full-size stretcher inside that is removable. There's space for a family member as well as a medical provider. Inside, there is space for first aid supplies. There's an option for advanced life support. There's lighting inside, ventilation. We have GPS tracking for the ambulances as well. And the entire thing is enclosed in a very robust, secure, and insulated compartment. And so I guess if you're kind of looking at this, we have, you know, red stripes down the side. We have the community name listed on the back with the phone number that you have to call. There's the Moving Health logo. There's windows that can open in the ambulance for more ventilation while driving. And there's also a window that opens between the driver and the patient compartment for communication between the two.
Got it. And I have the picture right in front of me, and it's quite fascinating. It looks like a modified tuk-tuk, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow. Yes.
And I've been in a tuk-tuk, and it's not the most comfortable ride. So I'm sure you've done quite a bit of work in upgrading the system, whether it's the shock absorbers, etc., to make it much more robust to bumpy rides, etc. So tell us about the manufacturing process. Do you already have like a local plant in Ghana? Where are you sourcing your parts? Are they all made locally? Are they imported? How is that happening?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also want to touch on the community involvement from the past question. So
Sure.
Yeah. So I guess first to talk about the comfort and the suspension, that we definitely have worked very hard to make sure that our ambulances are extremely comfortable. We've tested them against Chinese tricycle models. And we actually, in one of our most recent tests that we did with these ambulances that we just launched, our business administrator, Stephen, he fell asleep for the entire 3-hour ride in the ambulance. So
wow.
I can attest it.
That's better than a plane.
Exactly. So in terms of the design itself, like I said, it's been extremely important for us to be working with the communities to design the entire vehicle. And so for us, that started with realizing, you know, that the ambulance that we had originally designed in Tanzania was a trailer that could attach to the back of any existing motorcycle. But there were a lot of assumptions that we needed to test because obviously, you know, Ghana and Tanzania are completely different. One's East Africa, one's West Africa. The geography is different. The rainy seasons are different. And so we ended up kind of starting completely from scratch. And we had community leaders bring any vehicle that they had taken to the hospital to kind of start off the conversation. And we started with a focus group of about 80 to 100 people led by the local health directorate. And we asked people to talk about, you know, what did they like? What did they not like? What informed, you know, if a vehicle was safe? What made people feel unsafe? Let's talk about stories of people going to the hospital. What have been the biggest challenges? What have been the biggest pain points? We have women-focused groups where we talk about pregnancy. We have male-focused groups where we talk about their experiences with children. We speak with motorcycle drivers, National Ambulance Service, National Fire Service, and really try and understand every single perspective of every stakeholder. And throughout all of this, we also have a team of local engineers and fabricators that are also from Sisal East who are incredible. Sufiano and Ambra are our lead engineers, and they're absolutely amazing. They're so creative. They have product development skills like I've never seen before. And so they also are part of all of these conversations. And we're all kind of taking note of what do people want? What are the things that people are saying explicitly? What are the things that people are implying? And then really continuing with, you know, a lot of follow-up interviews after that. So then we built the first prototype of our ambulances, which was the first tricycle ambulance that Sufiano and Ambra took the lead on. And they actually were able to build the first mock-up of the ambulance in 6 days, which was fully functional motorized tricycle from all recycled parts, which was incredible. And so after that, we wanted to get more user feedback. We had the same group of people interact with the ambulance, say what they liked, what they didn't like. And then we actually ended up running what ended up being a 1.5 year long pilot of 5 of these ambulances in 5 communities in Sisala East. And what we wanted to do was collect health outcome data, how many rides, how much impact are we creating, but also use this as an opportunity to create a lot of user feedback data. What do people like about the product? What is comfortable? What is the parts that break the most frequently? How often do we need to be doing maintenance routines? And so from 2021 to 2022, we were able to get so much information from, you know, real usage of the ambulances. And so throughout that whole process, we're collecting notes for the next model of the ambulance. And we're also starting to do research on how can we truly manufacture this in Ghana. And so the first question was, how do we build out the local supply chain? And how do we want to do our fabrication? And so we actually went to Swami Magazine in Kumasi for about 6 weeks and worked with some incredible master fabricators there, learned a lot about the automotive industry supply chain that comes through Swami Magazine, and really started building the relationships that we needed to create this manufacturing space and really do it in a way that is sustainable. And so really all of that has culminated into this product launch that we just had in March, where we were able to release this new ambulance that looks amazing. It is made in Ghana and really kind of captures all of the feedback that we've gotten over the past 2 years. And what we wanted to do was, you know, have kind of a formal product launch. And then after that, we wanted to replace all of the 5 ambulances that were pilot ambulances with the new ambulances as, you know, a thank you to all of the communities that had participated in giving all of this feedback and really creating the product that you see today.
Amazing stuff. And really thrilled to hear that you're working with local fabricators, because I think from a sustainability perspective, that is very important. So how much does it cost to make one of these? And of course, I know you want to get it, you want to ensure that it's connected to the wider health system. So how much does it cost to make one? And what steps have you taken to ensure that, you know, you don't just have ambulances that are driving to hospitals or to clinics that can't serve them, but that you're able to identify the right places, for example, to send these ambulances to?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, it's costing us about $7,500 US to make the ambulances. And, you know, I think as we're able to scale this up and scale up the manufacturing more and more, we will be able to reduce that cost. We're selling the ambulances for about $10,000 US. I think that we want to make sure that there is an option for communities that want to buy their own ambulance that we can help with financing options. But we're kind of building out this, you know, expansion plan right now. Can you repeat the second part of the question?
Yeah, sorry. This is podcasting 101. I should not ask complex questions. So forgive me for that. So what I was asking is that obviously, you know, from the powerful story you told in the beginning about that lady who lost her life, because even though she got to the hospital, she got there late, and even when she got there, the health facilities couldn't serve her. So are you taking any steps to ensure that, you know, these ambulances are not operating in a vacuum, right? That they can take people to where they can receive the care that they need?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that our ambulances work is that they're stationed at CHIPS compounds, which are the rural healthcare compounds in Ghana. And so what we wanted to do was have the ambulances stationed in the interior communities instead of being stationed at a district capital where they'd have to go out and then also back. And what we see is that there's usually around 1 to 2 traditional ambulances in the district capital, but they very much do not go into the rural areas. And so by stationing them at the CHIPS compound, that also ties us into the network of the local health directorate. And so the ambulances are managed by the CHIPS compounds. And so their process for referring cases is kind of immediately adopted with the ambulance, and the ambulance is able to help supplement the existing referral process to the hospital.
Got it. So let's clarify your business model. So are you just going to be manufacturing these ambulances and selling them off, or are you going to play any part in operating them? So I'm trying to get a sense of, is your goal just to sell them to the different communities, or are you also helping them to operate?
Yeah, absolutely. So our business model as we move forward is that we are selling the ambulances, and then we're also, you know, basically selling implementation, consultation, training. So how can we train you to be able to set up this ambulance in a sustainable way? So kind of a train the trainer model in that way. So we won't be operating the ambulances, but we are going to be training people how to run them in a way that works with the local health directorates. We also have a subscription maintenance plan that people can subscribe to make sure that the ambulances are always maintained. And we have a network of mechanics to make that happen.
Got it. So if I'm hearing you correctly, the health directorates will be your primary customers.
So our customers are NGOs, hospitals, and then also, yes, the health directorate.
Got it. No, that's very interesting because I know there are a number of other organizations that are trying to work in emergency transportation, and they've gone for the fancier option of you know, working with the traditional ambulances, etc. So it's good that you've come up with, you know, a design, a vehicle, so to say, an ambulance that is affordable and that can work across different contexts. But I'm sure you've had many, many challenges. Would you like to take us through some of them?
Yeah, I think that to kind of comment on that last piece, there's a lot of really exciting work happening in the emergency transportation space. And I think that where we see the gap is that, you know, there is a huge benefit to having designated emergency transportation vehicles, but a lot of health systems and a lot of hospitals and NGOs may not necessarily be able to afford a full traditional ambulance. And so you can actually buy 10 to 15 of our ambulances for the price of one traditional ambulance. And so that's really where we see an immense amount of value being created.
Got it.
Yeah. About challenges that we've faced. I think that one challenge that's been interesting is that I think that we have really made it clear that our values and our focus is on prioritizing the community in terms of including their voices and centering the conversations around community members in terms of every step of the product development process, manufacturing, and implementation. I think that it's definitely a slower process to do it that way. And it is sometimes harder to find funding to do it that way. But it's been really important for us to maintain that value. And I think that now that the ambulance has been launched and we've been able to see all of the support from the communities and just their appreciation of being, you know, really involved and how transparent we've been and really taking in all of their feedback and really truthfully making it become a reality, I think it's been an incredibly rewarding process. And I think that it's interesting kind of navigating the nonprofit space where, you know, there were people that said, you know, a lot of NGOs will come to areas like this and they'll just take data and they'll take photos and leave. And, you know, one person said, you know, this work that you're doing with Moving Health is like one of the first examples we've seen where we feel like people are really listening to us. And I think that was really, you know, powerful for us to hear in terms of the methods that we're using to make these ambulances a reality. But I also think it's, you know, a sad challenge as well to think about, you know, how things have been done in the past.
Yeah, but look, I really appreciate that you've taken the time to have the community involved. As someone who's lived in Africa all my life, I mean, we've seen just so much extractiveness. And so having the community have a voice, playing a prominent role in the design and implementation, I think, look, kudos to you, regardless of what the challenges have been. So let's move into the future, right? Because now you have the product, it's launched, congratulations. So what next? What are your plans for achieving scale?
Yeah, absolutely. So for us, as we move forward, we have goals to expand across Ghana. What we'd like to do is showcase this as a model to redefine the way we think about emergency transportation. And what we'd like to do is basically have this hub and spoke approach where we are supplementing the existing national ambulance service and we're really working hand in hand with them to create full coverage for emergency cases. And so our ambulances can operate in the rural areas that might not be able to have coverage from a traditional ambulance. And then we can bring people to the district capitals, maybe meet the traditional ambulance partway if there's a referral that needs to happen from the district to the regional hospital, the traditional ambulances can take them there. And so our goal is really to expand throughout more districts in the Upper West, to expand into new regions, and also to look at, you know, what partners can we be working with to really create this kind of vertically integrated solution to emergency transportation. So maybe that's, you know, the logistics side of calling the ambulances. Maybe that's the, you know, data collection side. And I think now that we've launched the ambulances, we kind of have these two goals, which is the first one to expand geographically as much as possible, but then also to look for partnerships that can really make this, you know, the entire full package, and that, you know, a Ministry of Health would be able to, you know, plug this into their system and it answers all the questions. So that's kind of what we're seeing for the future. And then obviously, as we gain more and more traction, we also want to look at, you know, where's the next place for us to expand. I think that there's so much application for the ambulances that we've made throughout the continent of Africa, Southeast Asia, Latin America. There's a lot of places that would really benefit from a vehicle like this. So hopefully we'll be able to make as much impact as possible.
Yeah, I'm really rooting for you guys. But do you reckon that you would have to go through the same painstaking process of community involvement in every context where you hope to scale to?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, and it's something that we're working through as a team ourselves. I think that, you know, for the time being, we want to focus on getting this ambulance out to as much of an area that, you know, this design is applicable to. I think right now, the fact that it's made in Ghana, our team is, you know, entirely basically based in Ghana, and we have a lot of pride around bringing this ambulance to as many people as possible. And I think that, you know, as we look at what the next step is for Moving Health as we expand outside of the country, that is the question, is, you know, do we want to have this be more of a franchise model where we're, you know, always developing new products, or is there a way that we can test out if this vehicle works in other contexts? And, you know, how do we want to approach that scaling process?
Totally understood. You know, I don't get a whole lot of hardware innovations on the show. And the few that I've had on the show have often complained that they have challenges with government regulations either not existing or being a hindrance to their products. So as we close, what ask would you have of governments and policymakers across Africa and perhaps the developing world?
It's a very good question. I think the ask that I would make is to really be open to innovation and make it accessible for smaller organizations and smaller startups to be able to pitch ideas that are really innovative. I think that it can be difficult to figure out how your work as a smaller organization can fit into a large structure of government and policy and regulatory systems. And I think the ask that I would have is just to, you know, have open-mindedness about innovation and make it accessible for smaller organizations to figure out how they can fit in the ecosystem, to really just encourage people to keep on being creative.
Very well said. Well, there you have it, folks. Africa CDC, Africa Medicines Agency, Africa Union, wherever you are on the continent, if you're in the government or a policymaker, have an open mind and make it easy for African innovators in the health space to do their thing. Well, Emily, it's been great having you on the show. Thank you so much for making the time. And please, if you ever happen to be in Nairobi, do look me up.
Absolutely. Happy to do that. And thanks so much for having me on the show today. If you guys want to learn more about us, you can check us out at www.moving.health.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much for being on the show, and enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. MedTech Africa is produced and hosted by Sam Oti and co-edited by yours truly, Veronica Sander Ochiambo. The goal of MedTech Africa is to provide a platform for showcasing digital health and health tech innovations across the African continent. Please reach out to us if you have any thoughts on this episode or recommendations of African health innovators that you'd like us to host on the show, you can find our contact details in the episode show notes. Finally, be sure to subscribe to MedTech Africa on your preferred podcast platform. And if you have a moment, please leave us a great review because it really helps other people to find the show. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you join us in our next episode.